Good morning, everyone. This is the Dr. Football Podcast. This is Dr. Dennis Tien. How is everybody doing this morning? I'm here with my man, Justin Fine. Our experiment continues. Justin, you're hungover today.
Yeah, I guess every other week we're just going to roll with it and then maybe pull the audience.
There you go. Yeah, we can see how you do over the next few weeks. That's good. Yeah. Well, I hope you had a good time last night. And we'll try not to put you to sleep with the show today. We'll keep it interesting for you if we can, okay?
Let's do it.
All right. So in 2002, Bill Belichick shocked the football world when he cut Lawyer Malloy. After preseason, 2 years after winning a Super Bowl. Now, what we've seen since then is that Bill Belichick has a habit of making moves like that, that wasn't an isolated event, that Belichick has throughout his career made the roster move that no one saw coming. Malloy in 02, the Richard Seymour trade, Dion Branch in 2006, Logan Mankins a couple years ago. Belichick has a habit of trading away his best players when the getting is good. Sometimes you can't help but wonder, is it smart financial planning or is it a little bit of spite from Belichick, or maybe it's a little bit of both? My question for you, Justin, is who is going to be the surprise cut this year? Is there going to be one? Because if you look at the Patriots roster and you look at some of the cap numbers of some of their best players, they have some pretty high cap numbers. So for some guys that I could see being that surprise move right in training camp or before the season starts. So I'm going to throw a few names out to you. Yep. And I want you to tell me if you think these guys are going to be on the team this year.
All right, let's do it.
Stephon Gilmore.
It's actually funny because that's the first name that came to mind when you said this question, and I think it would be stupid for him not to be.
Yeah.
I do.
You know what pisses me off a little about that situation, just to be honest, and you know, I get that a guy wants to get paid, but didn't they restructure his contract and give him some of the money that he was supposed to be getting in 2021 in 2020? So didn't he just get more of the money sooner? And now he's coming back and he wants another contract. I mean, you know, you signed a contract a few years ago. Like, they accommodated you and gave you some of that money up front in 2020. Okay, now that you have a deal that's less favorable to you, now you're holding out. I don't know. It kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, not to mention the first contract he signed initially when he came over from the Bills. That was an atypical contract for the Patriots to hand out. Like a 5-year, like big, big money contract to a cornerback. Like, you know, so... I think they've treated him well. I think once you start to kind of push yourself out the door, Bill's the first one to escort you there. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I think I would love to see him there because I think he's still one of the best cornerbacks in the league this upcoming year. I mean, still top. I think he's still going to be a top 10 corner.
Is JC Jackson number one corner material? Probably not, right?
Well, he certainly looked like it last year. But then again, I mean, you know, when you have Gilmore on the other side of you and, you know, that kind of changes things.
Cause so, you saw those last couple of games last year when Gilmore was hurt or didn't play.
Right.
And Jackson, I mean, I think Jackson's a good solid, like 1B or 2A corner, but I don't think he's a true shutdown cornerback in the true sense of the word. So, you know, as much as Gilmore, I think is out of line. I feel like if you look at the roster, I think they're going to bring him back. Like I think you pay for Stephon Gilmore. I think Gilmore's still at the top of his game.
Right.
And I feel like you have to accommodate him.
Well, they have a lot of, I would say that secondary might be one of their deepest, you know, areas in the football team right now. They did just bring in Jalen Mills too, the Green Goblin.
But you only have so many opportunities to have game-changing players on your roster. And like they have great depth at cornerback, and their cornerback with or without Gilmore is not going to be a position of weakness this year because of the depth they have. But this team needs game-changing players, and especially game-changing players on defense, because they don't have Tom Brady anymore to fill the whole void. So I feel like you have to keep Gilmore in here because he still can be that guy. Even though I think he's wrong, you know, in principle, I mean, hey, let's face it, might is right. And you know what? He can ask for more. They need him more than he needs them at this point. And I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I hope, you know, at the end of the day, it looks like we're seeing things that Belichick and the Patriots are doing, like we've said in previous shows, that we have not seen before, right? So maybe, you know, Belichick will surprise all of us and will work with Gilmore, and maybe he will restructure. Who knows? But, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, I would definitely like to see him back here because I think this is a defense that can be special, especially if you have someone like him as a cornerstone piece of it.
Okay. Next one. Donta Hightower. Massive, massive cap number this year. 32 years old, injury history, hasn't played in 2 years. Is Donta Hightower on the Patriots roster in 2021?
If he's not going to be, then why did you keep him on the roster last year? When, I mean, he sat out last year, right?
He sat out the whole year last year.
I mean, he sat out the whole year. I'm not exactly sure how that affects like your cap when a person decides to sit out due to COVID. But realistically, I mean, if you're going to get rid of him now, why wouldn't you have gotten rid of him?
Well, I think the cap number from 2020 just transferred to 21 is what they agreed on. So whatever he was going to get paid in 20, now he's going to get paid in 21. And here's Gilmore's cap number. We should mention this is $16.265 million this year. Okay. That's the highest on the team. Donta Hightower is his second. He's $12.4 million. Second highest cap number on the team. You brought in Van Noy.
Yeah.
You got a couple other guys on the team. You got Josh Uche. They say looks great. Josh Uche is, I think, going to be a stud. I think he's by the end of this year, he's going to be a guy that is a cornerstone of their linebacker corps. I just think the guy's got great speed. They brought in Matt Judon. They brought in Kyle Van Noy.
They have Juwan Bentley.
Juwan Bentley still. You know, is it worth $12.5 million? You know, to have Donta Hightower here. I say it isn't. I mean, I think he's going to be a cut.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, you can kind of look back at it though and say, if you're building a team that, you know, you're trying to win right now. I mean, the Patriots are trying to win, like they're looking at like a 1 to maybe 2-3 year span where they're trying to win right now. Right. If you're trying to do that, you know, you need depth. You know, you can't have an injury on, you know, defense to one of your linebackers or one of your cornerbacks be the end all be all of, you know, your chances to win a Super Bowl. Right. I think you need depth at that position. I think if you have those guys under contract, let it ride for this year.
But this is how Belichick thinks, right?
Oh yeah.
Is he going to pay $12.5 million for a depth piece when he can go out and sign some like guy that maybe he's not quite as good as Hightower, but he's almost a good, I guess, you know, I think it's important to make the distinction here. Like Gilmore is a game changing franchise caliber corner. Still, Hightower is a good linebacker. I don't think he's that good of a player. And I think he's on the decline. And here's the thing about Hightower, and this is unmistakable. He gets hurt a lot.
He does.
He gets hurt a lot. You can't count on him.
Can you put a price, though, on leadership and experience, having two guys there that, you know, have been there, done that, won it all, been cornerstones of that defense, they know the system? Like, I feel like, you know, that in the Patriots, you know, scheme, that kind of weighs heavy.
It does. You know, if you're asking me, if I had to make a guess right now, I think he either restructures or he gets cut. But you're right. I mean, I'm not saying he wouldn't bring value to the roster. I'm just saying that for $12.5 million, I think that's just a steep, steep, steep cap hit for someone that hasn't played in 2 years, is in their early 30s, and was a very good but maybe not great player to begin with. Okay, next one, and this is going to be a real surprise, and I bet you this happens. Okay, Devin McCourty, cap number 11,
really?
$11 million cap hit. Third on the team. He's over 30. There was talk he was going to retire each of the last 2 years. His brother's gone. Is Devin McCourty a New England Patriot opening day 2021?
It's funny because actually of all the names you've mentioned, that's the biggest surprise, but I could see it being the most likely.
Right. That's like the classic Belichick. Yeah. You talk about the surprise move, the Richard Seymour. No one's expecting McCourty, but look at it this way. They brought in the Green Goblin. They drafted a safety last year.
Yep.
They got a bunch of depth at that position on both corner and safety to begin with. And McCourty's got a huge cap hit. I still think McCourty has a year or two left where he can play, but so did Deion Branch. So did Richard Seymour. So did Logan Mankins. So did Tom Brady.
I'll tell you what, if I would be more comfortable cutting him out of those three than you know, the other two.
Right.
For sure. Just I just love
why? Because of the depth at the position?
Because of the depth.
Yeah.
Because of the depth and
because we've seen like how shitty their linebacker, what it's like to go into through the year with a lousy linebacker corps.
Exactly.
It happened last year. It happened a couple other seasons, the Belichick tenure. You might not remember Monty Beisel and all that stuff. It's tough to play defense when you have nothing at linebacker.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think if you're just looking as far as, you know, pass coverage is gone, I think it's easy to say that Gilmore's made more of an impact in the secondary than McCourty. So just factoring those two things in.
Right. It's the same thing. I mean, McCourty's a very good player, but he's not an all pro, you know, but he's kind of getting paid up at that level now. So I think he will be the surprise cut this year. One other one for you. Shaq Mason. Shaq Mason is one of the better guards in the NFL. They re-signed him a couple years ago. His cap number this year is $9.53 million. They drafted and hit on Owen Ewe last year, who looks like he's a stud. They brought in Andrews. They kept Andrews, and they brought back Ted Karras. You know, they've got Isaiah Wynn, who could probably play some guard. They got Trent Brown. What do you think? Is Shaq Mason?
But I feel like all of those pieces, as good as they are, they're all like fragile to a point.
Right.
None of those guys are like sturdy. Like you can count on them playing all 17 games of the season.
Right.
So if you definitely need some depth, at
you
O-line.
Do. And if you have bad quarterback play,
right,
you kind of a good offensive line can really help.
Sure.
If you've got
especially a young
quarterback,
exactly. Yeah.
If you got to bring Mac Jones on in some point, like you don't want him, you know, getting clobbered. So.
Right.
You know, I think Mason's cap number is it raises your eyebrow, but my guess is he'll be here.
And you know, I guess so my question, you know, for you would be what would they be saving this cap money for? What would they be putting this new, you know, found cap money towards? What, I guess if you're not trying to win right now or acquire new, like you're either trying to win right now or, you know, build for the future, what would they be using that money for? Cuz I feel like they're in win now mode.
Right.
They have all the pieces. Why would you get rid of those guys? And then what, if you do, what are you going to do with that money?
Well, that's just it.
Right.
Cause they have cap room still,
right,
a little bit. But Belichick, I think, doesn't always think like that. But let me ask you something, since you said this a few times, do you really think the Patriots are in win now mode?
Look who they brought in. I do. I think like, you know, they just completely, shared up their offensive line. They re-signed players. They brought Trent Brown back.
Uh-huh.
They went off on defense. They splurged on defense. They brought in some good young receivers. I feel like they're in win now mode, to be completely honest.
I kind of feel like they're more in like cover your ass because we haven't drafted a decent player in 4 years mode.
But
you know,
but yeah, but for us, for Patriots fans, we only want to win. Like,
right,
you know, making the playoffs, that's not good enough for us. So, you know, I think cover your ass mode ipso facto is win now mode because that's all we're gonna be happy with.
Okay. You know, I think until they find the answer at quarterback, I just can't say they're in win now mode.
But I mean, how pissed do you think Robert Kraft was? You know, because you know Robert Kraft didn't want Tommy to leave, and then he had to watch him hoist the trophy in a Bucks uniform. I mean, come on. If there was ever something that's going to get a fire lit under that old man's ass now, it's seeing Tom Brady do that.
And that's what we talked about in the first episode, right? Is that Kraft is pissed. I mean, Kraft called out Belichick, and he called them out again. He said a few weeks ago, did you hear that quote? That's why I pay Bill Belichick. I think Bill Belichick's feeling a little heat here. And you know, you're right that they were aggressive in free agency for a reason. And I think that it does come from the top, but until they show me that they at least have an above average quarterback, I can't take them seriously as a team that's going to win or be a contender. I mean, we're not talking about, we got Baker Mayfield, he's above average, or we got, you know, some above average quarterback. We're talking about the worst quarterback situation in the league in 2020. And it's hard to just look past that no matter who you bring in.
No, for sure. Again, we won't go down the rabbit hole, but I'm much higher.
We're gonna go down the rabbit hole later because we have to.
All right.
All right. So NFL free agency has historically always been a mixed bag. Okay. And the Patriots have stayed out of free agency over the Belichick Kraft era for the most part. I always felt like Belichick was scarred by a couple signings. He went big on Roosevelt Colvin in 2003. He then tore his labrum and was never the same player. A few years later, he went big on Adalys Thomas. He was a total disaster.
Yep.
Okay, including perhaps being partially responsible for the Super Bowl 42 loss. I won't go there. But the Pats went big into free agency this year. And like we said, perhaps because they're trying to cover their ass, perhaps because they're trying to win now. We're all happy now with the aggressiveness they showed in free agency. But free agency in the NFL can always blow up in your face pretty quickly because a lot of these big time free agents don't work out. That's just a historical fact. So here's my question, Justin. Of this Pats free agent class, who is going to be the bust of this group that you think? Because someone is going to, they're not all going to hit.
It's funny because I'm looking and I'm trying to figure it out, but all I keep seeing, and again, maybe it's just good PR, is, you know, players like Jalen Mills saying how bought in he is to the franchise. You know, people like, you see Matthew Judon, he's supposed to be assimilating very well with the linebackers, doing really well. You know, Kendrick Bourne and Cam Newton already are supposed to be boys. Now, I mean, I don't know. It's tough. Maybe like a Nelson Aguilar.
Okay. He could be a bust, I think.
Something like that.
I think Mills and Judon will be studs.
Yeah, I do too.
I think they're good fits here. I think Hunter Henry will be a stud. This is my call for the bust. Jonnu Smith. I don't know. I just have a bad feeling. And you already heard a little bit of a mini camp this week. You know, sometimes these guys, like human nature, someone dumps a truckload of money and you're like, you know, kind of loving life and you don't really put your all into it. And I think that happens a lot. And I just have this weird feeling that Jonnu Smith is going to be that guy.
I think if he does bust, it'll be due to injury. Because I actually think that he's a freak.
He's a stud.
He's a freak.
He was a stud in Tennessee last year.
Stud in Tennessee. I don't think Belichick and Vrabel are, you know, going to bounce around with a guy who doesn't have that mentality and that work ethic, especially with the contract they just gave him.
Yep.
Like I said, so I think I could see him being a bust, but I think it would be due to his inability to stay in the field as opposed to his work ethic.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, look, you know, so not all these guys are going to work out. There are definitely going to be a couple busts. And you have to hope that more of these guys hit than miss, because if they miss on, like, you know, the majority of these guys, I mean, they're really screwed as a franchise.
For sure. I mean, well, who do you think anyone's going to be a miss? Like,
I think Jonnu Smith is going to be a bust.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith. Anybody else besides him?
I think Aguilar might also not be great. I feel like Kendrick Bourne will be solid. I feel like Henry will be good, especially when Jones gets in there. It's great to have a good tight end when you have a rookie. And I just feel like, you know, I don't know. I just have a good feeling about Henry and not a good feeling about Smith. It's just intuition. There's nothing scientific or fact-based about it. And I think Mills and Judon and Godchow, I think they're all going to be big parts of the defense.
All right.
So
I like that.
Yeah. And I think that's the way it's going to go. Okay. So, Pat's mini camp concluded last week, and it is again a reminder to me about the epic screw up of their inability to handle this quarterback transition. And 1990-91, these are like the first years I really started being a fan. Patriots had Tommy Hodson, Scott Zolak, Mark Wilson, Hugh Millen as their quarterbacks. Okay. When you have four guys, you have none. That's the rule. If you don't know who your starter is, you're screwed. Right now, the Pats have all the archetypes of the "we blew the quarterback stew." Okay, they have the aging veteran who's past his prime. That's Cam Newton. They have the mid-round reach that has a lot of talent, but there's a reason why he's a mid-round pick. That's Jarrett Stidham. They have the mediocre old guy who had a moment or two, but he's not that good, but he stays in the league. That's your Brian Hoyer. And they got the young guy that's really maybe not ready yet in Mac Jones. What a disaster. Though at least Mac Jones gives us some hope, right? Last episode, I said that I thought Mac Jones would be the starter. The more I watch minicamp, the more I'm walking back a little off that. I think he will be the starter at some time this year. I'm not sure if it'll be week one. But Justin, we're going to be talking about this every episode.
For sure.
All year long, not just preseason, but throughout the season. What's your take on after minicamp? How do the Patriots quarterbacks race, if you will? Where are we now? Who's looking good? Who's trending? And which way are you thinking?
I mean, look, after Belichick came out and very candidly said that Cam Newton's way ahead of where he was last year, you know, it's tough not to think that he's atop the depth chart. You know, I would think if Mac Jones is able to progress, it wouldn't shock me if Mac Jones was, you know, sitting at third right now in that depth chart. But I mean, I think eventually, you know, by the time the preseason starts, he'll be at number two. Hoyer, we talked about it last week. I mean, look, it makes more sense for Hoyer to transition to like a practice squad, or maybe even like, you know, retire and step in as like a coaching role, something like that, helping out. But yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much how it will shake out. I'm still pretty high on Cam Newton. I think he's going to be the starter, and I actually have pretty high expectations for him, barring any injuries.
What about all the buzz out of minicamp that he wasn't throwing the ball well?
I mean, you hear he's not throwing the ball well, but you also hear Belichick saying he's way ahead of where he was last year. So, I mean, I don't know. You hear conflicting things.
Isn't it infuriating to you how, because it is to me, how like just soft Bill Belichick is with Cam Newton when he was so harsh to Brady for all, and like, you know, they had this like personality thing that developed at the end there. If he was just half as decent to Brady as he's been to Newton, we would never be in this situation. Doesn't it drive you crazy?
It does. Do you think it's a little bit different? And I mean, I don't know. I've obviously never coached, but do you think, and it probably shouldn't be different, but do you think your mentality is different with a player that you've drafted in homegrown, raised versus like a free agent that comes in, you know, halfway through his career already established?
Yeah, look, it's like the old married couple syndrome. No matter how much you love each other, after 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, you start to get a little tired of the BS, right?
Yeah.
And maybe that's a little part of it too. Maybe they just needed a break from each other and to move on. I mean, maybe there's not as much enmity there as we think. I mean, you spent 20 years in a professional relationship with someone,
right?
You know, maybe it's time to move on, but it's just like it just seems like Belichick has this like infatuation, almost blind, with Newton, where like the principles that he has applied to other players, okay, in the Patriot way for two decades, somehow seem like they don't apply to Cam Newton. And it's infuriating because he was so bad last year. And I know that, you know, I know you're expecting better things in 2021. I'm totally skeptical, because when someone plays quarterback as badly as Newton did last year, I got to see it on the field before I get excited about it, no matter what, you know, is said or written about.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
So I'm skeptical, but I mean, did you think, I mean, there was a lot of positive buzz about Mac Jones coming out of that camp.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm definitely, you know, I agree that Mac Jones eventually will be a starter in this team, and he's probably going to be good enough to be that next guy. I don't think he'll flop like Stidham. But I just think for the time being, I think it's also a locker room move too. I think Bill is also kind of feeling the pressures of, you know, there's been a lot of whispers over the last couple of years through little things here and there that Bill might have been, you know, starting to lose the locker room a little bit. And I think he's kind of walking himself back a little bit and making sure that first and foremost, he's got the morale up. He's got all the players buying in. He has everybody, you know, I guess the morale. That's literally what it comes down to.
I mean,
to.
Even an awesome NFL coach after like 4, 5, 6, 7 years can lose the locker room.
Right.
So it's amazing that Belichick, you know, hasn't lost the locker room yet. You know,
right. And Cam Newton seems to be a player's player. The players seem to like him. He seems to be a leader on the team who stepped in, even though he didn't play well, you know, from a gameplay standpoint, he still stepped into a leadership role very quickly and seems to be filling that role kind of on a daily basis. So again, it might be just part of keeping, you know, the team together, keeping that leadership intact, and, you know, using him to set an example.
The take home from minicamp to me is that Jones is going to be the starter at some point this year. Like, it seems like he's far enough along, and there might even be a disagreement between McDaniels and Belichick, right? I mean, there was rumors of that the last few weeks, that McDaniels is more into Jones and Belichick is more into Newton. I guess I think that even though I'm walking back a little from Jones will be the week one starter, this whole mini camp kind of reinforces that I have questions about what Cam Newton's role is going to be on this team, whether there will be a spot for him. And I know he's maybe their best quarterback right now, but I don't know how you put him on the active roster if you know Mac Jones is going to overtake him at some point.
Well, that actually kind of brings me to the question I had for you is, and you kind of asked me this a few weeks ago, you know, what does it take if Cam Newton stays healthy, right? Because in my mind, I see the most likely scenario I see playing out is Cam Newton, you know, tweaking something or getting injured, missing a week or two, having Mac Jones come in and never looking back, right? How that's the more likely scenario I see. But if we're talking about just strictly making the switch for performance reasons, what is it going to take as far as like record, time frame, you know, whatnot before you see that switch?
Well, it's an awkward situation because, you know, if you know Jones is your future and you feel like he's ready to go on the field from the beginning because of his grasp of the game, you know, it becomes a very big elephant in the room for the team. And it kind of hangs over the whole team all year. And then even after you make the transition, it hangs over you. So, you know, are you rooting for your starting quarterback to fail? This is what I'm saying. I don't doubt that Newton is probably their best starter for the first month or two of the season, even despite his struggles. But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, if the elephant in the room is going to be there and the difference isn't that great and the schedule's kind of soft the first few months and you know you're going to have to do it anyway, maybe the cleanest break is you just get rid of Newton right from the beginning and you roll with Jones and you see what happens. I don't know if they're going to do that for sure. Like you said, Belichick seems infatuated with Cam Newton. Yeah. So it's probably not going to happen. But like we said, Belichick will surprise you every now and then too.
He will.
And just because he said he's advanced, that doesn't mean, you know, could you see he's singing his praises right now. Would you be surprised if Belichick cut Cam Newton on August 30th or something like that?
Personally, yeah. I think I personally would.
From Belichick over the years.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm also starting to see like a little bit of humility, it almost seems like. I don't know. I feel like it would be such a gut punch to the team that to get rid of Cam. I don't know. I don't know if he'd do that.
See, you were too young to remember Lawyer Malloy, but let me tell you, that was the ultimate gut punch.
I do remember that, but that was also young, arrogant Bill feeling himself. You know, like I think now he's kind of, especially after Tom Brady leaving, Robert Kraft, like you said, putting the pressure on him. I think it's a little bit kinder, gentler,
Bill.
I think a little bit.
It is a little bit.
A little bit kinder and gentler.
I still think he'll cut him in a second if he thinks it's in the interest of the team, though. I really do. But, let's face one thing for sure. This is going to be the most interesting training camp in preseason of our lives. Like, I mean, you'd have to go back a long time. I mean, to remember a preseason and a training camp this interesting.
Yeah, honestly, the last two decades, it was always, you know, you were looking forward to the upcoming football season just because you knew the Patriots were going to compete and they were going to be good.
Right.
And now I'm looking forward to it for a whole new reason.
Right.
Because it's for now, there's all these, you know, these mysteries. We have a team that could literally, that has the potential to literally go, you know, we could probably end up like 6-11 or we could end up like 12-4.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. It wouldn't surprise me either way. Totally agree. Okay. Next topic. This week, Electronic Arts, released their Madden cover. Yeah. Okay. And they promoted it with two goats and it ends up being Brady and Mahomes on the cover. Now, I don't think anyone at this point can or would dispute that Tom Brady belongs on that cover as the GOAT.
Yep.
But Patrick Mahomes as the baby GOAT, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet for Mahomes. A lot of quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl, and I wouldn't call them the GOAT necessarily. We are living in an era of the National Football League where the rules are so tilted towards passing. Volume-based statistics lie. 4,000-yard seasons and 30 touchdowns is not as meaningful as it used to be because everyone's doing it. It's all relative. Look at the Super Bowl this year. This was a huge window. Okay, not enough is said when we talk about Patrick Mahomes about the situation he came into. That was a good team that made divisional playoffs a couple of years before he got there. They had a good offensive line, great coaching, great skill position players. Okay. You saw in the Super Bowl this year, when that offensive line fell apart, Holmes really looked awful. And some of his, I would say the things he gets away with that are bad fundamentals that he somehow gets away with because he's so talented, they really were put on display. And you saw the throwing off the back foot, running around like a chicken with his head caught off in the pocket, you know, throwing across the field. Tampa Bay exposed him in that game a little bit. I still think the guy's amazing. Don't get me wrong. But are you ready to say he's a GOAT yet? I mean, isn't that a little premature?
I mean, yeah. A couple things. First off, with that Super Bowl, yeah, he did look like he was getting exposed. I do want to say real quickly, there were a lot of reports that he was dealing with some ankle injuries and stuff like that. And, you know, he did have a beat-up line. whatever. But it, you know, when it comes to what's this is going to be his what, fourth or fifth year in the league?
I think this is fifth.
This is fifth year in the
league. Yeah.
So you could argue that if it wasn't for the actual GOAT, right, that Mahomes would have three Super Bowls at this point already in his young career. I mean, Brady single-handedly took potentially two more. I mean, we went into Kansas City and beat them in the AFC Championship, and that team, I think, would have gone in and beat the pants off the Rams in the Super Bowl. I think whoever won that game was winning the Super Bowl.
Yep. Agreed.
And then obviously he took another one away from him this year. So you could also play devil's advocate and say, wow, you know, Mahomes is could have been on the same track that Brady was, winning like three out of four. The only reason he didn't was because of Tom Brady. So you can make that argument. I do think it's a little forced. It almost reminds me of how, like, you know, you have to deal with the everybody trying to make LeBron James the next Michael Jordan. It's like, it's just for marketing and business purposes and for the sake of the league, they need that, like, next, you know, just father figure, you know.
Yeah, totally.
So I think it's they're forcing it a little bit, but I do think he has the potential. And like I said, without Tom Brady, you know, in the league, Tom Brady retires a few years ago, Mahomes could have three out of four. No,
that's a great point about he might have well won the last three Super Bowls if it wasn't for Brady. I just think, look, you can be a great player and not be the GOAT. Like, I'll give you an NBA example. Hakeem Olajuwon is a great player. He won two rings in the 80s. He might have won more if it wasn't for the Lakers and the Celtics, okay? Great player. No one calls Hakeem Olajuwon the GOAT. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mahomes is definitely a great player. He's definitely going to be a top five quarterback for the next 10 years, I think. But to say he's generational, Montana, Brady, that level, I just feel like that is... I think it's premature to put him in there until he does it on the field.
I agree. If in my heart of hearts, do I think he will be a generational player like that? Yes. But is it too early to call? Yes.
I'm not sure if he will be. I guess I'm a little more skeptical. You know, like you said, he hurt his foot this year. Well, guess what? He's going to hurt himself. He's not going to be as mobile at 30 as he is at 22. You know, he's like, what, 25, 26 now. You know, he suffered a couple injuries already. What's going to happen when he can't scramble around like crazy back there? What's going to happen when he doesn't have five good linemen protecting him and he has to read defenses and play? I mean, that's what made Brady Brady, right? And Breeze. And some of these guys that was great for so long, Peyton Manning, because they read the defenses, they did the fundamentals, they did the little things, they played with their head first. Mahomes has got to show that he can do that. Otherwise, he's going to lose his mobility once he gets around 30, like Cam Newton, and he's not going to be the same player.
Well, can I ask you this? Do you think there's another young quarterback in the league, not even necessarily just his age, but in that range, that has a better shot of being the next GOAT than him?
You know what? No, but the guy that I would say, he's a lot older, but I would put in the same category, and I might even take him over Mahomes, and you're going to say I'm crazy, is Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Because I love Russell Wilson. And Wilson, you know, he hasn't had all the advantages that Mahomes has had in terms of the talent around him on offense. And Wilson, I mean, let's face it, I think he came in the league in, what, 2012? The league has even gotten more tilted to the passing game in the last 3 or 4 years than even when Wilson came into the league. So you're asking me who I would take to win one game? I'd have to think long and hard about whether I would take Wilson or Mahomes. Now, let's see what happens with Mahomes when he hits some adversity. You know, when Brady came into the league, he won 3 out of 4 Super Bowls, and then the core fell apart, right? And there was some adversity. He you know, in 2005, they still made the playoffs. In 2006, they still made the AFC Championship game. In 07, they went undefeated. They should have won the Super Bowl that year. Brady was able to withstand a lot of less than ideal circumstances and still be a successful NFL quarterback. For Mahomes to be the GOAT, I need to see that. I need to see multiple championships.
For sure.
And I need to see sustained success even when he isn't the most talented guy on the field anymore.
For sure. And, you know, and I guess just to play devil's advocate with Tom Brady, trust me, I think he's the, there's no question. There's no room for discussion in my mind, but just to play devil's advocate, would haters out there say, oh, during that lull when, you know, after the core fell apart and, you know, we didn't necessarily kind of stack our teams like we have been recently, or at least at the beginning of the, you know, the era too, we didn't win, right? So could people say that Brady needed like a pretty stacked team to get us there?
Absolutely. They could have. And you know, they were competitive though.
Oh, they were. Exactly. They were still competitive. Right.
And Brady was able to win, you know, automatic AFC East win, usually divisional playoffs, if not conference. I mean,
right.
team, with multiple groups of people around him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's GOAT level right there.
Right.
You change the parts, you change the pieces, and you know, and you still are at the top of the league. Do you win it every year? No, but you win six. And you know, you raise a great point, and people forget there was a 10-year gap between Patriots Super Bowl
exactly.
rings. There was a whole career
right.
in there, you know, between 2004 to 2014, they didn't win a ring. So, but I think overall, if you look at the whole picture, you'd have to say Brady's always been successful no matter who is around him. And I think that shows you that he is a special player. You know, Mahomes is probably going to be like that, but I want to see it on the field
for
before
sure.
I say he's the GOAT. I guess what I'm saying is I'm not wowed by like the 5,000 yard, 40 touchdown season. I mean, that's great, but this is an era where they're greasing the skids for passing the football.
Right.
So even though that's great production and he's an awesome player, I'm not putting him in that upper echelon yet until I see more on the field, consistency and time.
Agree.
Okay. Let's go on to another topic. Ernie Adams retired this week for the Patriots. Matt Patricia is rumored to be the guy that's going to take on the role. Now, let's just take this as an opportunity to reiterate. There is nothing illegal about stealing signals. Shame on your opponent if you let your signals get stolen,
right.
okay? And if a guy is being filmed and he's out in front of 70,000 people and you steal his signals on the all 22, what's the difference between filming the sideline? I never got what the big deal was, personally. But the bottom line is the Patriots were great and successful both before and after Spygate. Ernie Adams is always kind of thought to be the mastermind for all that kind of stuff. Are you concerned about Ernie Adams leaving, Justin? And what do you think about the role Matt Patricia has on this team moving forward?
I'd be lying if I said it didn't concern me a little bit whenever you have somebody who's, you know, such a staple in the behind the scenes, you know, for so long in, you know, I think for non-Patriots fans, I don't think they know the name, but if you're a Patriots fan, I think you know just
right.
how much of an integral role like he played, like in the, you know, the year to year, the development and how that teams were crafted, how the organization was on scouting, all that stuff. Yeah, it definitely worries me a little bit. I think Matt Patricia is going to step in and be just as competent right off the bat? Probably not.
It seems like Adams had like a unique skill set, and it's like
did.
It's hard to see that being
almost
transferable.
Almost like a Rain Man type,
yeah.
Type of like
exactly.
he just had the ability to just yeah I don't know he just had and it was funny because again it was just a, I think it was just a weird like I wouldn't be surprised if we see like a 60 for 60 ESPN and this like at some
yeah.
point in the future
because
there's just
a documentary
yeah documentary something because it's just like a very atypical like
right.
relationship you know that to have like between with an organization.
Did you ever hear that Art Modell when Belichick was in Cleveland, you know, he used to say we're paying this guy all this money, Ernie Adams, and I have no idea what he does. That was one of his, you know, famous things from the book
yeah.
that they wrote about moving to Baltimore. But yeah, I mean, no one, you know, I don't think you can replace a guy like that. I think he's kind of a unique guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Patricia, what do you think about Patricia, Justin? You think he's going to have a role with the organization moving forward?
Yeah.
Are you happy they brought Patricia back?
Yeah, I liked him when he was here. I thought he was good when he was here. I mean, look, when he was here and he was the defensive coordinator, I don't think we had too many bitches, did we?
I thought so.
You did? You didn't you weren't a big fan of him?
I was not. You know, can I talk out of both sides of my mouth here?
Yeah.
I'm happy we got him back, but he sucked as a defensive
you
coordinator.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Their defense got immediately better when he left and Brian Flores took over. I thought he was so overrated. You know, the one hallmark of a Matt Patricia defense, and it happened in Detroit too, and it happened all throughout his time in New England.
Beat on big plays.
Yeah, that, and he cannot, the two-minute defense, okay? His defenses are terrible at two-minute defense. Whenever the Patriots had a late-game situation where they needed to get a stop,
yeah.
okay, it was always white-knuckle, you know, you were terrified. It's just the hallmark of
that's
a Patricia
true,
defense.
Actually, yeah.
It's true. And you can think back to some of the Super Bowls and playoff games they lost or almost lost with him there. And even the Malcolm Butler play where they got extremely lucky. Well, there was something about the way Patricia coached that I don't know why he couldn't coach a 2-minute defense. They always gave up points before the half and at the end of games. I just felt like he was a little bit overrated, but yeah. I'm glad he's back because, hey, to get a guy with that kind of experience and have him be a part of your coaching team on a team that frankly doesn't have a lot of experienced guys in their coaches room. They've lost a ton of coaches. I mean, I think he will be someone that they can use. I just hope that certainly hope he's not the successor to Belichick. And I certainly hope they're not counting on him to have a big role in the personnel.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm McDaniels, I mean, I certainly would fucking hope, sorry, shouldn't swear, but certainly would hope that Patricia would not be coming back to be the head coach. I mean, if that's supposed to be McDaniel's role, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's why he stuck around to be the heir apparent whenever Belichick decides to hang it up.
Yeah.
So if Patricia comes back, you know, and they give him a shot to be the head coach, I don't know. I can't see that going over well.
I would take McDaniels to be the successor, like 1,000% over Matt Patricia. I might have to become a fan of a different team if Patricia ends up being the head coach after Belichick. I could live with McDaniels getting another shot. Like, I think he's paid his dues. He's a great offensive coordinator. I feel like he maybe learned some lessons from the last. Like, I have no problem if Belichick leaves in a couple of years and they give McDaniels a shot.
I will say this, though. Again, out in Detroit, you know, he's kind of dealing with a dumpster fire of an organization and a team out there. I don't know exactly how successful he could have been, but, you know, I'm not willing to say he was an awful coach out there. I don't think he was a great coach, but again, I think it's tough when you don't have, you know, the pieces around you.
Yeah. And he left the organization in worse shape than when he got there, you know? So you're right. It's a shitty organization, but I mean, I don't think Patricia did anything to help improve even a little bit. And, you know, I was never enamored when he was here. So, okay, I want to go to another topic now. The Pats have drafted notoriously badly the last couple years. And, you know, about over the last few years, they kind of went all in on some offensive skill position players. And a couple of them are coming up to the end of their rookie contracts. So we talked earlier about cuts that might be made, as surprise cuts because of salary cap reasons. But these are a couple guys that I don't think anyone would be surprised if they get cut. But I wanted to ask you, do you think that Sony Michel and N'Keal Harry are going to be on the roster? Which one stay? Do they both stay? Do they go? Who are those two who are on the team? I mean, do they cut their losses finally and just say, screw it, these guys can't play?
It sounds like they want to move on from N'Keal Harry. Again, maybe I'm just too optimistic. But for me, again, I look at N'Keal Harry and I say, well, he came in, he was injured his first year, and then he had a quarterback transition. So I don't know. I'd like to see him, you know, year three in a system with a consistent quarterback trying to build a rapport and being healthy. Because I do think he has, you know, potential. He clearly, you know, is physically gifted. As far as Sony Michel goes, I mean, we just drafted that dude. Was it Ramondre Stevenson?
From Oklahoma, yeah.
I mean, like, you know, we re-signed James White. Obviously, we have Damian Harris. So, I mean, Sony Michel's role on the team, I mean, you know, it's definitely, I think he'd be more of like a complimentary role to kind of, you know,
like, what does Michelle
downs,
bring to the table? I don't know. You know, he's not fast. He's okay.
Again, just depth, I think. Depth. Maybe just depth.
I've said for years, you know who, do you remember Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
Yeah.
That's who Sony Michel is. He's Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. You give him, he's going to get what's there to be taken and nothing more.
Right.
And the difference is Ellis was like a undrafted free agent and you were thrilled with that. This guy was a first round pick that we like passed on, you know, some really good players to bring him in.
Yep.
I just don't see what he brings you. It's been 4 years. He's been hurt. He's had a couple surgeries. I think he's gone. Personally, of the two, I'd rather see them keep Harry, even though Harry drives me nuts. But I just feel like you said, you know, he's never really had the consistency at quarterback position. You know, I don't know. I'd like to give him another try, but I think he stays. I think Michel goes.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, we know what we have in Sony Michel. I'm not ready to say we know what we have in N'Keal Harry yet.
Okay, a couple quick things around the league, and then we're going to wrap it up. Justin, the Aaron Rodgers situation is ongoing in Green Bay.
Yeah.
What's your take on what's happened the last week? There's been a lot of rhetoric from the Rodgers camp. Do you think Aaron Rodgers will be a Packer this year? It's getting late in the game. We're almost at the end of June.
I mean, does he have an option? I mean, if the team won't trade him, it's either he holds out or he plays, right?
That's his options.
So, I mean, yeah, I think eventually he will be a Packer. I mean, if the team's very, you know, ardent and not trading him, then, you know, what, I mean, he doesn't really have any options. I think right now this is more so him sticking it to them saying, okay, you guys kind of like stuck it to me in the draft, how you guys have been running things. You know, you haven't helped me out, put the pieces I need around me. You drafted my successor in, you know, when I clearly needed help at receiver and all that stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's just more so sticking it to them. I think he's good enough and he's, you know, comfortable enough that he could probably step back in.
It kind of feels like they're not going to trade him.
It's, I don't think they're going to trade him. I really don't.
Yeah, totally. I feel like his options right now are play in Green Bay or not play.
Yeah, that's it. I don't think he's going
anywhere. And knowing him, I wouldn't be surprised if he opts for the latter. But,
yeah.
You know, that, just seeing his pattern of, I don't think I know the guy, but just seeing his pattern of public behavior. We'll see what happens, though. You know, I think it's just worth noting that it's getting very late for a trade, you know, for a quarterback trade, especially, like, you know, if you're Denver, if you're Washington, if you're a quarterback hungry team, I mean, when, you know, his value is going to start to go down if he doesn't get traded soon. And it does bring up another point, which is we're talking about quarterbacks that might be getting traded. Haven't heard much about Deshaun Watson lately, have we?
No, I keep seeing, you know, all these, I would be so shocked if he played. How is there any chance that he actually steps in a field after like all of those accusations and anything? Cause I feel like a lot of dudes have been like suspended or banned from the league for like a lot less. And
right.
This dude has done some, you know, serious shit and he's just on slate to play.
Yeah. I mean, it's been eerily quiet on that front lately. And I don't know, is it still possible? Like if you're Houston and you start your training camp, and I don't even know if Watson did their mini camp this week. I guess that's something we should look up, but you know, do you start your training camp? This guy's your starter. He takes all your reps. And then in week two, you know, Goodell says we've done our investigation. He's suspended for the season. You know, exactly. You're totally screwed.
And so, then given that, what team is going to possibly want to trade for him?
Right.
With that looming over his head too.
Exactly.
So
affects his value.
Yeah.
And I mean, and there was rumors the Texans, by the way, were interested in Jared Stidham. So maybe that tells you a little clue as to what they think is going to be the case with Watson. Julio Jones finally got traded to the Titans this week. What are your thoughts, Justin? Good move. Good. Glad the Pats passed. Second round and a fourth round pick. What do you think?
Obviously I wish he came to New England. I don't think he would have been, I think he's going to be happier in Tennessee just because I think in New England, we would have been a run first offense. You know, we wouldn't have centered the passing game and everything around him. He would have just been another piece of the puzzle.
Right.
But he gets to go to Tennessee playing kind of a high flying offense. Ryan Tannehill's been a gunslinger the last few years.
Yep.
Playing alongside AJ Brown, which you know is going to help him because.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, people kept saying, oh, you know, are there room for these two guys on the same team? Like, how are they going to like play with each other? It's like, if you're those dudes, like, that's exactly who I'd want to play alongside of because now, you know, the defense has to spend the whole game picking and choosing who they're going to double cover and who's going to be left open. You know, who's going to, any of those dudes in single coverage is a mismatch.
He's going to be a lot more successful
exactly,
in Tennessee than he would have been in New England.
For sure.
He's going to have a lot less pressure on him. There's much better players, you know, receivers there to open up for him. He can come to that situation and he can be a number three receiver and that's kind of okay.
Yeah. And he'll still eat.
And he'll still eat. Exactly. So I think it worked out. I don't think he was a good fit given our circumstances. And, you know, the price, hey, you know, it's second round pick. I mean, look at our Patriots track record of taking second round picks is not great. So, I mean, what do you give up? But I think it's probably a situation where it worked for the best that he went there. Last topic, Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens are going into his fifth year of his rookie contract with Lamar Jackson unsigned beyond this year. And that's kind of unheard of for a guy that won an MVP in his first four years.
Is this year five?
Yeah. This is year five. Yep. Yep. Yeah. So he is, every other top level guy that's come in and been successful on their rookie deal didn't make it to this point without a contract. The Ravens are holding back on giving the big deal to Lamar Jackson. What do you think's up with that? And do you think that Jackson is a true franchise quarterback? Is he a little bit of a gimmick? And will his game translate well into old age?
That's something I don't know if I can, I don't really know if I can answer that right now. I think there's still more to be seen. I mean, it kind of perplexes me how in some games and for some stretches of the season, he can just be so unstoppable and dominant. And then in some games, the offense and him just look so incompetent and out of sync. It's almost like a switch, and I don't understand how that happens. The only thing I could think of is that, you know, there's a certain way to play quarterbacks like that that exposes them if they're not versatile and able to sit back in the pocket and, you know, stand and deliver. And I know he's not really known for that. I don't think he's an awful pocket passer, but that's definitely not his specialty. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to be curious to see how he translates, not only in his age, but if he can stay healthy. Because, you know, quarterbacks like that, he gets hit a lot. He's always running. So I don't know.
I think his game is not going to age well. And I think that's probably their biggest concern. You know, because a guy like him, I mean, Jackson is an amazing athlete. Like, there are a lot of guys that are mobile quarterbacks that couldn't play other positions in the NFL because they're not that good of an athlete. But it's just, hey, you're a quarterback. The space is there.
Yeah.
You know, you can run a little bit and you're going to be able to make some plays. But Jackson is a guy that probably could play a skill position. He's a true, you know, he'd be one of the 5 or 10 best athletes in the league. All positions, you know? So I think he relies on his athleticism heavily for his game. Personally, I feel like the guy won an MVP. I think you should sign him. And I don't think you should. I mean, that's my personal take on it. I think the Ravens are playing with fire to let him go into the air. One interesting thing about Jackson, Justin, do you know that he doesn't have an agent? His mother is his agent.
No, I love that.
Yeah. I love it too as a fan, but if I was advising him, I'd tell him he's nuts. Get an agent.
Yeah.
Get an agent and go in and be ruthless like everyone else is. Because you know what? If this guy goes out and blows his knee out this year, which could very well happen given the way he plays the game, he'd be costing himself tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah. Well, have they tried to re-sign him
I don't know if it's more the Ravens or if it's more him, but they have been able to reach a deal. And I don't think any of the other guys that have made it to this point have gone unsigned into the final year of the rookie deal that have been as successful as him. Okay, everyone. Well, that's all the time we have. Hope you enjoyed the show today. We want to wish everyone a great weekend. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful summer stretch coming up here. We'll see what happens. Training camp is fast approaching. We should be back in the next 2 weeks or so with another episode. And then as we get more into training camp, we're going to be doing weekly episodes when we have plenty to talk about. And we know that there will be plenty to talk about this training camp. But that's all the time we have today. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a super day. Justin, you have any final words? You feeling a little better?
I'm feeling a little better. Yeah, appreciate you guys.
You look like you really perked up over the course of the show.
Yeah, Dr. Football getting us all through the morning.
See you later. Thanks a lot, everyone. Have a great week.